The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
If one big beautiful bill has left you with one big confusing question, turn to BHM CPA Group. Their experienced professionals break down complex changes in tax law, accounting, and business regulations so you can make informed decisions with confidence. Simplifying the complex is what BHM CPA Group does best. Don't wait. Visit bhmcpagroup.com and let's get to work. BHM, because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be. Visit bhmcpagroup.com today.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Karen Reed back in court today for another hearing as we're getting closer and closer to her scheduled April 1st trial date. Let's go to the courtroom now to get the latest.
This witness has a report, and a report is not admissible and can't be shown to the jury. And so to have the defense summarize her testimony when she's not allowed to put her report in herself seems a bit imbalanced. There are references on this potential chalk that lists troopers' names. Those names shouldn't be on there. But also, it doesn't give the full picture of the actual testimony. The issue regarding glass, I expect, is going to be an issue in the next case, and I say that because we learned last night for the first time on a public airing of an episode that the defendant suggests that Mr. O'Keefe took her vodka soda glass out of her car. Now, that is the first time we've had any statements from Ms. Reed suggesting that, and also there was another statement regarding a claim that Ms. Reed pulled glass from John O'Keefe's face. Never heard that before. So we have this evolving or new testimony, or statements about glass. And so I think first, I'd like to consider this new information that we just learned last night. And secondly, I am reluctant to agree to a simple summary of part of the witness's testimony that has not only labels on it, but does not, from my perspective, clarify anything. I'm not opposed to chalks. I think chalks are helpful for both sides. And I think the liberal use of chalks is helpful. But I don't have confidence this chalk accurately summarizes the witness's testimony. I'm open to discussing chalks with the defense and perhaps learning why they think this is helpful and important. But looking at this chalk, it does not look clear to me. And I do think that the evolving nature of glass in this case is going to be an issue. And since I've just learned this information, I want to give it some thought.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Jackson, what I'm going to do is just hold off. Hold off and see where the evidence is, what the two of you talk about. Maybe there's some agreement you can come up with regarding this. It's just I need to hear more of the evidence again.
I understand.
And I'm going to read the transcript, so that will help me with this.
I think it makes sense. Mr. Brennan indicates that the chalk was not helpful to him. With all due respect to Mr. Brennan, it's not really his understanding of the chalk that is going to sort of seize the day. It's Ms. Hanley. So I do think that if the court would keep an open mind,
sure,
if Ms. Hanley testifies, then that would be the appropriate side.
So I'll take no action on this, and maybe it's something we can address the day before she testifies or something as it gets closer.
Sure.
But the two of you should talk.
Sure.
I'm open to working with them if there's something they want to explain.
All right, great. Thank you. All right, so no action taken on paper 558. So one question, the next motion I have is defendant's motion to exclude irrelevant, inadmissible, and prejudicial prior bad character and propensity evidence. The Commonwealth has a sort of maybe a similar one that I'm not sure. The Commonwealth's motion in limine to admit the victim's out-of-court statement relating to his state of mind, so the Commonwealth's Bins and Qualls motion, does that address the Aruba witnesses? I'm just wondering if they're hand in hand. So the paper number on the Commonwealth's is 585. It's got your 11 on it, though. So the defendant's motion in limine to exclude irrelevant, inadmissible, and prejudicial prior bad character and propensity evidence. It deals with the, let's just say, the Aruba witnesses. I don't, Marietta Sullivan, Laura Sullivan. Does this, Ms. Giannetti, I think this was one filed by you. Maybe it wasn't. Does this include the children as well?
This does not. This is
okay.
Limited. This argument will be limited to the, we'll call it the Aruba incident.
Okay. All right. So given that, that might not include the Commonwealth's number 11, the Qualls, Bins, the defendant's statement, the victim's state of mind as it goes to the defendant's knowledge and ability, likelihood to act on that state of mind.
The defendant.
So I just want.
I didn't mean to interrupt, Mr. Brennan. Do you want to?
So I just want to know if that is part of the Aruba one.
Okay.
So our statements relating to Mr. O'Keefe's state of mind is broad. It would have included the Aruba, but I can make quick work of this. We
okay.
do not intend to introduce evidence about the Aruba event.
Okay.
I reserve the right if the defense opens the door. Then we may proceed with it, but in our case in chief, we don't intend to introduce any evidence from the Aruba event.
Okay.
Shortest
there we go.
Ever.
All right. All right. So, Mr. Brennan, you can have a seat again, and we'll go through the defendant's one. That's very helpful. So I will endorse it as Commonwealth does not intend to introduce in its case in chief. If that changes, Mr. Brennan, you need to come to sidebar well in advance, okay? After telling counsel.
Understood. Thank you.
All right. All right, so that was 559. defendant's motion in limine for review. Is the Commonwealth seeking a view as well?
We did not move for a view, but we do not object if the defense wants a view.
Okay. So who's going to argue this for the defendant?
I am, Your Honor.
Okay. So what's different this time around is you're asking that Ms. Reed be permitted to attend.
Yes, Your
Honor. So I'll hear you.
Your Honor, the defense is requesting that it exercise its broad discretionary powers to allow a view under Massachusetts General Law 234A.
So I'll allow a view.
Okay.
Okay, but let's talk about your client attending it.
Yes, Your Honor. There was a request in there for Ms. Reed to attend. That is something that's allowed under the law.
Mm-hmm. How do you propose that's done?
If it's possible to have separate arrangements for her to be there, vis-a-vis some other transportation so that they're not all on the same bus, if the court can make that accommodation, we would appreciate it. But the most important thing in this case, Your Honor, is that there be a view of both the vehicle and 34 Fairview Road.
All right, so the Commonwealth's not objecting to a view of the vehicle and 34 Fairview, correct?
I'm not, but I do not think the vehicle should be at 34 Fairview.
Okay, what are you proposing for that?
We could make arrangements and make suggestions, but it's not going to replicate the circumstances of that evening, and so it creates an image that is inaccurate. So I do not think that the vehicle should be sitting in front of that home in totally different lighting conditions, timing conditions, and I think it can be misleading.
All right, I need some suggestions. Why don't we table this for a bit, even if we do this one tomorrow? So one of the concerns I have about just logistically, people have to stay away. When Ms. Reed's in court, there are a lot of people who come to court. So I need some assurances that there will be people kept at quite a distance. A separate car is fine, would counsel plan on being in the car with her?
That would be fine, Your Honor.
So I need some proposal. So I need more information from both. So, Mr. Brennan, I'd like you to come up with a proposal about viewing the car a separate place or a separate time. It would be ideal if we could do it at the same time, but at a separate place, if that's what we decide. We may have to do it all at once.
I do think it's important, Your Honor, that the vehicle be at the scene just for dimension purposes so that the jury can get a sense of what it would have looked like at the scene. And I think just for convenience purposes, it saves a lot of coordination on the court's part and in terms of juror time by having it all happen in one fell swoop.
Okay. All right. So let's try and figure out some of the particulars. I would like to have Ms. Reed be able to attend, so let's figure out some particulars. All right, so defendant's motion limine to exclude certain witnesses before and after testimony. That's 462. And I think we can address the Commonwealth's motion for sequestration that moves to exempt family members at the same time. So who's arguing? 562. Did I say four? Sorry.
Yep.
562 and 576. So Ms. Little?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm handling the motion to exclude certain witnesses. The court has broad discretionary power to sequester witnesses before, after, and during their testimony under Massachusetts Rule of Criminal Procedure 21. The defense respectfully requests that this court issue an order for sequestration in keeping with what the Commonwealth also requested. But additionally, excluding Brian Higgins and members of the Albert and McCabe families after they testify.
So do you mean after the evidence is closed?
I mean after they've taken the stand.
So after they've taken the stand, but so witnesses are sequestered not to influence any testimony. So once the evidence is closed, just before closing arguments, are you saying they should not be permitted to come into the court for closing arguments?
Yes.
Focus on that part of your motion.
Yes, Your Honor. We're asking that they not be able to attend closing arguments, and this is why. As the court likely recalls, at the first trial, members of the Albert and McCabe families continued to attend court after their testimony. During closing arguments, Colin Albert, Ryan Albert, and Jennifer McCabe were all seated in the jury box with the O'Keefe family. At least one juror who was seated in this case indicated to a reporter at Vanity Fair that she felt intimidated by their presence at closing arguments. Your Honor, a sitting juror reporting feeling intimidated by the presence of third-party culprits towards the close of the case is highly concerning.
Was this a deliberating juror?
I don't know. He or she was anonymous.
Okay.
And, Your Honor, that was by design. There is information that the Massachusetts State Police and the District Attorney's Office wanted to have the third-party culprits seated there during closing arguments. And so, on that basis, the defense is requesting, in order to protect there from being any sort of undue influence or intimidation, or even just the potential that a juror might feel that way, as we know at least one did in this case, we're asking that they be sequestered after their testimony and during closing arguments.
What's your position on the Commonwealth's motion to exclude the family members of both the defendant and the victim?
I believe that the sequestration order, yes, we join in that request.
Okay.
The only exception I would note is that experts should be able to obviously watch other expert testimony that deals with their...
All right, so obviously is not something, it should be in a motion, okay? If you've got an agreement that each other's experts can be in the courtroom during the testimony, that's one thing, but it's not obvious that they're permitted, okay?
I just wanted to make sure that would be excluded from the order that the Commonwealth proposed. Because the way that they wrote it, it says all witnesses. And I'm guessing that, and I won't speak for Mr. Brennan, but I'm guessing that they will want their experts to watch our experts and vice versa.
All right, so you all need to talk. All right, and if there's a disagreement, you need to put it in writing. Generally, experts are permitted, but it's not a given, okay? All right, Mr. Brennan, do you want to weigh in on people being able to... I'm concerned about after the evidence is closed.
I think it's unfortunate that not only a time-honored tradition, but an entitlement for a witness after the evidence is closed to come into the closing and watch the closing. The defense tries to take an opportunity to provide an unsolicited bashing on their targets. They name Higgins, Albert, they invoke those names, they characterize third-party culprit, and they suggest that some anonymous person was uncomfortable. It seems as though the presentation has a deliberate point to promote a cause, but it doesn't have any sense of balance or fairness whatsoever. Witnesses, all witnesses from either side should be able to come into a courtroom after the evidence is closed, the sequestration order has ended, and watch a closing. Grace can be offered in these circumstances sometimes, and that's what I've tried to do in my motion. Ms. Reed has three potential family members who are potential witnesses for the government, and certainly I would have a right to try to ask the court or insist that they should be sequestered, but I've specifically asked that they not be sequestered. I think that an accused has a strong need to have family support in a courtroom. It's not in the benefit of the government or the Commonwealth, but it's fair, it's just, it's graceful. And I think that Ms. Reed's family should sit through the court testimony, even if they're called as witnesses, as should Mr. O'Keefe's immediate family. The idea that witnesses should not come in after a evidence rests and during a closing, not only does it seem quite unfair, it doesn't seem to have any basis in law, in justness, in courtesy. And so I ask you to deny the idea that these targets of the defense should not be able to attend the closing. But I do ask you to endorse my motion that would allow family members to have the benefit to sit through the court proceedings, even if they may or even if they do become witnesses.
Okay.
Your Honor, if I could address one issue.
Sure.
There is some additional information. I was hoping we might be able to address sidebar because it is subject to a protective order, but I would like to make a record.
I'll take a closer look at both of these and have something later. All right, so Ms. Giannetti, I think this next one might have been yours. I could be wrong again. Maybe it's just that you filed some. It's paper 565, defendant's motion in limine to prohibit testimony regarding funds paid to experts for purposes of voir dire.
That's also mine, Your Honor.
Okay.
I believe the Commonwealth has indicated that they will agree to that.
Okay. All right, so paper 565, allowed by agreement. So 566, defendant's motion for panel voir dire. Who's arguing that?
That's
okay,
you.
So all I need you to really focus on, of course I'll give attorney conducted voir dire, but why don't you focus on panel voir dire for me?
The request is pretty straightforward. We would maintain a categorical list of topics that is in line with the statute, previous experiences with the criminal legal system, characteristics of the case, including media attention, things of that nature, biases in favor of law enforcement or vice versa, personal beliefs about driving under the influence. We think that's attendant to this particular case in particular, involvement in any relationships involving domestic violence, involvement in motor vehicle crashes, those categorical issues, whether they've ever been victims of violent crime and their general ability to be fair and impartial in light of Ms. Reed's constitutional rights to...
Okay.
To
we covered all of that last time as well, right?
And that's exactly right. So we're not asking to change the categorical subject matter. We just believe that a panel voir dire conducted, at least in part, with limitations, obviously, time limitations and subject matter limitations by the attorneys, would be of great assistance to both counsel, both the Commonwealth and the defense, in determining jurors' ability to sit through an extensive trial, a complex trial, and something that's going to be obviously hotly contested. The chemistry between and among jurors is more borne out if there is some, at least a modicum of panel discussion between and among the jurors and counsel who will be handling the case on behalf of Ms. Reed and on behalf of the Commonwealth. We don't think that there's any prejudice to either side, certainly not to the Commonwealth, certainly not to us. I think all of us would benefit, including the court, would benefit from being able to panel a fairer and more comprehensive jury.
Okay, what's the Commonwealth's position?
Of course, we defer to the court. However, we prefer a questionnaire. If we have a panel voir dire, there will be quite a bit of contest on the subject areas, the limitations, the parameters. I wouldn't say anticipate, but I worry that it will digress into trying to craft the argument, the direction of argument, in a way that's favorable to each side's cause. And that really isn't the purpose of it, but that seems to happen in the limited times I've engaged in it. And so I think the questionnaire is more structured. It allows for all the different subject areas that are important to both sides. And I may misunderstand, but I think the court allows follow-up on questions where there is any inquiry or concern or a follow-up that's reasonable and necessary. And I understand that that has been a liberal application. And I think that suffices.
The only thing I would say to that, if I may speak from here, the only thing I would say to that is I completely agree. I think a questionnaire is enormously helpful, especially as it pertains to a panel voir dire. And quite frankly, Your Honor, in my experience, and that's what we do where I'm from, is panel voir dire consistently. It's faster. It's actually much more efficient to do a panel voir dire than it is to do an individual voir dire. That's all I'll say about that.
So I'm a huge proponent of panel voir dire in the right case. My biggest concern here, frankly, if we didn't have the inordinate amount of publicity on this case so close to trial, I heard that there was something last night. It's been in the news, right? And it's continuing. It's because of that, I'm afraid it's just going to blow up the panels. So, and I have a lot of discretion here. I'm not going to allow panel voir dire. I will allow a robust, as I did last time, voir dire at sidebar. We're also on for final trial conference today and tomorrow, so I need a list of witnesses from the defense. I need you to fill out a report so that we know exactly what is still left that we have to deal with, and jury voir dire is a very important part of this. So I expect, as last time, to be able to use a questionnaire, but I want you to agree to it, and if you can't, I need that. You know, I'd need that by the end of today if you're not going to agree to it. Have you proposed a questionnaire? Have both sides talked about a questionnaire recently?
We haven't, but we do have the advantage. Both sides has the advantage of the one from last year. There may be some adjustments, but I think we've got the backbone to start with.
So let's do that. What Mr. Brennan's new to the case, what I make... When I need it in questionnaires, it has to be one page, both sides. No more than one page. At the end of our hearing tomorrow, I would like to talk about the particulars of it. We have a huge amount of jurors coming in, and I have some ideas on how we might best utilize that with the questionnaire, but I need to talk to counsel about that at the end of all these hearings today. All right, but just to be clear, no panel voir dire on this case, unfortunately, I think because of all the publicity. And we'll do extensive voir dire at sidebar and the questionnaire. So 566 then is denied because it's requesting panel voir dire. 567, defendant's motion for order prohibiting the Commonwealth and its agents from speaking with or having contact with any witnesses once they've taken the stand. So is there an objection to that, Mr. Brennan?
There's not. I believe that rule should apply to both sides. I have no objection.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, do you agree it applies to both sides? Ms. Little?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So that, Mr. Clerk, 567 allowed as to both sides. Rule 570, defendant's motion in limine to exclude irrelevant, inadmissible, and prejudicial evidence regarding alleged harassment and or intimidation of witnesses. All right.
Thank you, Your Honor. The first trial, I'll note, was riddled with what we believe to be inadmissible and highly, highly prejudicial testimony from a bunch of witnesses who took the opportunity to describe harassment and distress that they felt from third parties, both on social media and otherwise. No third party, including any blogger, any social media personality, any member of the public, no third party speaks for Ms. Reed. No third party speaks for the defense. No third party acts on behalf of Ms. Reed, is directed by Ms. Reed or the defense, or is under Ms. Reed or the defense's control. None. There were very obviously vile acts that were described during the course of the first trial in these witnesses' testimony. To the extent that they did occur, they are obviously in no way condoned by the defense, by Ms. Reed, or anybody connected with the defense in this case. And they're in no way connected to Ms. Reed or the defense. And notwithstanding that, the witnesses strongly suggested that Ms. Reed and the defense itself were somehow responsible for these alleged and very reprehensible things that they were describing. In one notable instance, Jennifer McCabe recounted being harassed by a blogger She didn't name the blogger, but she said, quote, the defense is very familiar with this person, end quote. That was her trial testimony, and she looked right at the jurors when she said it. The very obvious overture was, you know who this is, Mr. Jackson. I was the one cross-examining her, and you're responsible for it. In some way, shape, form, or fashion, she outright suggested to the jury that Ms. Reed and the defense were responsible for the acts that she went on to describe in great detail, in which we agreed, if they occurred, are vile, reprehensible, unacceptable. There are clearly, as we all know now, there are clearly people out there who are very deeply concerned about what they consider, the others, consider an unjust prosecution of an innocent person for a crime that she did not commit. There is an enormous amount of emotion injected throughout the community, this community and beyond, and we don't control that. And if people have suffered as a result of that, Ms. Reed, very specifically, should not be the one to have to bear that burden, and she did in the first trial. Those individuals out there who are emotional about the case, who are a proponent of one side or the other, they speak for themselves, they act for themselves, they act on their own accord. They certainly don't act at the direction of the defense or of Ms. Reed. And to allow these sort of what ultimately can only be described as salacious anecdotes into evidence, coupled with the sobbing and the crying and the breaking down on the witness stand, which also happened, it serves to visit an extreme and an extraordinary prejudice against Ms. Reed, very, very specifically and very targeted like a laser on her. And it's for conduct that's completely out of her control and completely unassociated with her. What may be most galling about the Commonwealth's presentation of this evidence in the first trial of witness intimidation was that they were in possession. They actually knew. Mr. Lally, Ms. McLaughlin, they knew at the time the information was presented and propounded in front of the jury that a grand jury had been impaneled to hear evidence on whether or not Ms. Reed was in any way liable for witness intimidation, witness harassment, or anything associated with that.
So the grand jury has a particular standard, right? Not any way. Right? Probable cause standard,
that.
Right? Okay.
But notwithstanding that standard, the question was she in any way liable for that harassment and intimidation? And that standard is extremely low. We all know the ham sandwich anecdote. And even the grand jury said, no, there is absolutely nothing to see here. There is no evidence that she was responsible for intimidation or harassment such that they determined that there was a no bill. And what is bothersome is that the Commonwealth was aware of that and didn't disclose it. We didn't find out about that until in October. I think it was an October notice of discovery when we finally found out that a no bill was issued indicating that Ms. Reed.
When was that no bill issued?
You said when or where?
When?
When? I want to say March 23rd, March 27th is what I'm being told. Okay. It was late March, before the first trial. And they knew this, and they didn't provide what I believe, and I think what the court would have ruled, would be exculpatory information to us to cross-examine these witnesses who say, hey, look, I've suffered at the hands of the community, of these bloggers.
So my memory is I kept it out, and then I have a very clear memory of you opening the door with Jennifer McCabe, and it came in through there.
So the court did make that ruling that ultimately, if the door is open, these witnesses are going to be able to talk about it.
But I kept it out prior to that.
Understood.
Okay.
I don't want to revisit that issue. The court made its ruling. I didn't think that we had opened the door. It was whatever that door was. It was on some very, very significant lubricant. It was going to be very easy.
Read the transcript.
I have several times. In any event, I believe that the court should make the exact same order this time and have a more defined understanding of what would reasonably open that door. I didn't think that I came anywhere close to it. The court disagreed and the information came in. But it's so prejudicial. It was so extremely prejudicial as to Ms. Estevez Reed, that I think we need to revisit that issue and get a more clarifying order about exactly what would be required to open that door. And then we can reasonably, as the defense, we can reasonably sidestep that as best we can. I wasn't able to do that in the first trial because I didn't think that I had even approached the line, but ultimately the court disagreed. So what we're asking in this instance is that we get a clarifying order that it is not admissible. Obviously, if we walk in and say something about witness intimidation, you've never been intimidated by anybody, have you? Obviously, that would open the door. That's not what would happen. That's not what happened last time. What happened last time was Jennifer McCabe basically decided that she wanted to talk about that issue and sort of walked through it, at least in my view, having reviewed the transcript. In any event, I think the court understands what our concern is with regard to this subject matter. We don't want a free-for-all of people, one person after another, walking into court and basically lambasting the defense, for all intents and purposes, about things that are completely out of our control. Even if there is some suffering by the public or by bloggers or by whomever that these witnesses have had to undergo, that is not at the hands of the defense, and we shouldn't have to, Ms. Reed very specifically, should not have to suffer through that testimony when it looks very, very clear that at least the Commonwealth wants the jurors to believe this is all at the hands of Ms. Reed, that she's been the one engaging in this, or the defense has, which is just not true. So we would ask for a clarifying order on that issue very specifically.
Mr. Brennan.
I can appreciate the defense wanting to identify the line in which they would open the door to evidence about harassment and abuse of witnesses. I understand why that would be important. But to convert that into a speech that absolutely defies reality and grossly misstates the history and facts of this case is beyond me. It wasn't just last night when Attorney Jackson and his colleagues appeared on a documentary where Ms. Reed talked about speaking frequently to Mr. Carney, sharing anything public with him. And you would have to choose to be oblivious to think that information that is shared was then not generated to intimidate and harass witnesses for 2 years. In fact, Mr. Carney has over a dozen indictments for just that. You've had an opportunity to hear the conversations recorded with Gretchen Voss. You've heard about the tactics used by the defense and the dissemination, not just of public information. So to try to make a public record that is so grossly, not only inept, but fraudulent, I don't understand the purpose of that when the simple question is, what is the threshold of opening a door? We have a motion later this afternoon in another courtroom on this very issue. And I'm not going to go through an entire resuscitation of the evidence or information that I have because that inevitably would be unfair. But it is unfair to stand up here at this podium and suggest for a second that Ms. McCabe is using a witness box as some type of forum. She didn't drag herself into this case. She was dragged into it. And to suggest they can stand here and bash witnesses in the text of their argument, unsolicited attacks, because it pleases them and fits their narrative, is something I can't just sit by and listen to. The Commonwealth, the prosecutors weren't outside patting their bloggers on the butt for a job well done after witnesses were harassed at the family events. That didn't happen. And so if the issue is, what is the threshold when Mr. Jackson opened the door? Well, you can read the transcript, it's very obvious. Open-ended questions, personal attacks, baseless accusations, that opens the door. And it will open the door again, I suspect. And we'll be prepared. I think the issue is really a trial issue, and an attorney having control of their questions so they don't open the door. That really is the issue.
So do you agree it doesn't come in the Commonwealth's case in chief with these witnesses?
I don't think it ever should have come in the case in chief, and I don't think it would have until I saw the very clear questions that opened that door. I have no intention of raising a collateral issue or trying to present prior bad acts that I haven't sought admissibility for. So I agree. I agree.
Okay.
Your Honor, if I may very briefly.
Sure, just give me 1 second. I want to take one note, okay?
Of course.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
I just wonder if where this ire and these invectives from Mr. Brennan come from. He said that I stood up here just a second ago and attacked witnesses and bashed witnesses and made fraudulent statements. Was he listening? I didn't bash a witness. I didn't attack a witness. I didn't make any fraudulent statements. The Commonwealth made their best effort, to tether Ms. Reed to Aidan Kearney. And they did it through a grand jury. And those members of the grand jury said, no, it's not true. It didn't happen. That's what they said. At the lowest burden known in criminal justice. So Mr. Brennan can stand up all he wants and say, I saw a TV show and I saw this and I heard an interview, and clearly there's been communication between Ms. Reed and Mr. Kearney. Sure, there may have been communication. That's very different from directing witness intimidation, directing witness harassment for the purposes of undermining a prosecution. That's what they've accused her of. And they failed. And then they kept that from us when they failed and allowed this sort of fabrication of the witness. And I'm not saying that the intimidation that was described on the witness stand was fabricated. That's not at all what I'm saying. Maybe it was true. Maybe it all happened. What was fabricated is that it was connected to Ms. Reed or connected to us. So nobody's up here, Your Honor, and I take issue with Mr. Brennan's tone and tenor. We can all be professional. We can all advocate very zealously and robustly. But let's keep it professional. I didn't stand up here and attack a witness or, what did he say, bash witnesses, use this as an opportunity to bash people. But we could calm the drama down just a little bit and probably get a little further. All we're asking is that it not come in, and I will stipulate and agree with Mr. Brennan that this not come in the Commonwealth's case in chief, and we will be very mindful of what would conceivably open a door to this kind of testimony, and I'll probably seek the court's guidance before I ask a specific question that I think comes anywhere close to that. We'll ask the court's guidance by coming to sidebar, and I think that could resolve the issue.
Okay. Thank you. I want to look at this a little more closely. All right, the next one is paper 571, and the Commonwealth's corresponding is your number 12, our paper 586. So the defendant's moving to exclude the serum plasma ethanol concentration, blood ethanol concentration conversion, and corresponding retrograde extrapolation analysis. So who's arguing this for the defense? Because I'm going to ask you whether you want to argue your opposition to it or have the Commonwealth argue make their argument for admission of it. Who's arguing it for the defense?
Your Honor, I am. And okay. To answer your question, the defense preference would be for the Commonwealth to go first. And all we right. would respond, including with regard to our motion.
Okay. So, Mr. Brennan, your paper, our paper 386, your number 12.
Your Honor, our paper number 12 seeks to admit the results of the defendant's blood draw at the Good Samaritan Hospital and the resulting serum conversion and retrograde extrapolation. This being a OUI manslaughter and murder case, the statutes that the defense cites don't apply. This is not a simple OUI case. We expect that we will have a witness from the hospital describing the protocol. We will have a witness from the hospital to testify about the blood draw, and we will have an independent, or we'll have an expert to talk about the blood serum conversion. These medical records are admissible. We've cited Chapter 233, Section 79 as a business record. I know the defense takes issue with that. However, these records are routinely admissible. Commonwealth versus Hallinan, 491 Mass, 730, page 736, note 9. Blood alcohol serum conversion and retrograde extrapolation is admissible. While the standards may be different because it happened at a hospital, these are agencies, hospitals are facilities that have standards that comply, that are trustworthy. And this evidence should come in pursuant to those cases in that statute.
All right. Now I'll hear you, Mr. Lassie.
Thank you, Your Honor. Attorney Brennan misstates our position that is clearly set forth in our papers. We are not citing to statutes that discuss consent of the of Ms. Reed. So I just want to take that because he's conflated issues and not addressed the main issue. Attorney Brennan just said that the results are reliable. And I appreciate very much that he has raised that because not only is there no proof that the results are reliable, there's proofs and in the first trial admissions as by Mr. Roberts as well as impliedly by Ms. Knowles that they're not reliable, and here's why. There is no record evidence as to the method of the hospital determining those levels. Specifically, with regard to the medical records in the chemistry section of those, it says in an annotation, the drug testing. This report is intended for use in clinical monitoring and management of patients. And here's the key statement. It is not intended for use in employment-related drug testing or court-related proceedings. And the issue with regard to the reliability of the testing is it is not stated the basics to go to reliability. Specifically, there's no documentation of how the alcohol test result was obtained, through what procedure, by whom, and the key, what manner of testing. There's two ways to do it, gas chromatography and enzymatic testing. And there's a huge difference in the reliability between the two. There is no record evidence, and it's the Commonwealth's burden of proof to establish reliability. There's no evidence of any of those foundational aspects with regard to the testing. So, with regard to those test results, the Commonwealth has to establish the reliability. It is not enough for the attorney for the Commonwealth to simply to stand up in ipsy dixit in saying they're reliable when there is a lack of the information of the factors I just rehearsed with regard to the matter. And another key aspect, which is conceded by the Commonwealth, they concede that the testing did not occur at an accredited laboratory. They concede it. And it's in every single report of the Commonwealth. And we put that in Exhibit A to our motion. For example, it's Exhibit A, the very first page, COM000994, Serum Plasma Conversion Report. It states, two paragraphs under the chart, with an asterisk, the ethanol result used in this serum plasma conversion report was provided by an external party. The testing to obtain the ethanol result was not performed at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory, and therefore this report does not fall under the laboratory scope of accreditation. Not the words of the defense.
So that's from the State Police Crime Lab, right?
Pardon me?
That's from the State Police Crime Lab, right?
That's correct. And with regard to the next document, which is our Exhibit B, in terms of changing that conclusion and that statement, there is nothing in there to remedy that statement. Exhibit C, also mentions, and this is NDAO 296, under background, it's the same statement. The ethanol result used in this retrograde extrapolation report was provided by an external party. The testing to obtain the ethanol result was not performed at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory. So what we have with regard to the foundation of reliability, we don't know what type of test result this third party did, gas chromatography or enzymatic, and we don't know any of the other factors, and it's the burden of the Commonwealth to establish the reliability of that testing. So in conclusion, Your Honor, given that the Commonwealth has not satisfied its burden in this regard, The testing that has been performed is not reliable.
All right.
It should be excluded.
Okay. Do you want to respond, Mr. Brennan?
I would suggest the court look to Dr. Fowler's testimony. He testified how blood was taken, how it was preserved, what tests were conducted in the lab at Good Samaritan Hospital, how the lab is accredited. And this is the same issue argued at the first trial, but inevitably Dr. Fowler's testimony is what establishes the foundation for the admissibility.
Okay.
Can I just respond briefly?
Sure.
Thank you, Hunter.
Your Honor has often said that this is a new trial. The Commonwealth for this trial has to establish that foundation. They can't point to the testimony in another trial to establish it. That should have been in their motion in opposition, that they should have put that in, assuming that that is accurate. But it is not in their motion here, and that cannot be relied upon to defend the lack of reliability with regard to those factors. And I will also note that none of the witnesses I just rehearsed, Mr. Roberts nor Ms. Knowles, if we're going to talk about the first trial, ever referenced that as curative of what they said for lack of accreditation. And if we're again going to go back to testimony of the first trial, Mr. Roberts on cross-examination clearly expressed concerns with regard to these foundational absences with regard to testing. Thank you.
Okay. I think we have time for one last motion before we take the morning recess. Paper number 574, defendant's motion in limine to exclude witnesses' prior criminal history. Who's arguing that for the defense? Is there no objection to this? This is regarding Richard Green.
It doesn't qualify pursuant to the statute.
All right, that was my question to you. How do you expect to get it in?
I don't.
Okay. All right, so this motion is allowed. That's 574 is allowed, Mr. Clerk. Mm-hmm. All right, so what I'll do is I'll see counsel at sidebar regarding scheduling.
Please.
You are muted.
We'll be recessed 15 minutes. What's back in session? May be seated.
All right, so Mr. Jackson, I'll hear you on that one motion.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it. It won't take very long. I want to formalize a motion to continue the start of the trial, which is currently set for April 1st. The reason behind the motion to continue is not because of some conflict that the defense has. We ordinarily would be ready to go. However, as the court knows, there is a significant appeal that's currently pending before the First Circuit. Based on Judge Saylor's opinion that was issued about a week ago. Given the complexion of what we're moving toward trial for, in other words, count one, count two, and count three, we are mounting a defense based on those three counts. If the First Circuit, and I've been advised by our appellate counsel to bring this up, and it was something that he feels very strongly about. We all do.
Okay, Mr. Weinberg?
Mr. Weinberg, yes.
Okay.
Martin Weinberg. If, in fact, the First Circuit were to agree with our appeal and were to take some action on count one and count three, for instance, either dismiss it or take some other action and remand down to the trial court for additional action, that would set the trial into upheaval. If once the jury is sworn, jeopardy attaches. And once jeopardy attaches, if there were to be some action taken on count one and count three, for instance, those counts were to be dismissed, we would then be compelled and impelled to move to dismiss the entirety of the trial at that point, because that's a very different defense on count two than it is on count one, two, and three. It's a different jury that we would pick. It's a different strategy that we would employ, and jeopardy will have attached and the entire case would go away. Ergo, we believe the best practice for the court would be to continue the trial for purposes of letting the First Circuit make its determination about count one and count three, and that's the reason for the motion.
All right, do you have any timeline on that?
I wish I did. I don't. I do have a generalized understanding of some of the briefing schedule, but in terms of the court making its decision, I don't. So we expect to get our brief in today, probably by the end of the day today. I believe the Commonwealth is going, I believe that whoever it is that is appearing for the Commonwealth, for the court, I should say, not the Commonwealth, for the court, is due to file their responsive brief, their opposition. I think it's next week. It may be as late as the 26th, I want to say. I'm going by memory, Judge. So it's Monday? Okay. Mr. Schillinger has just indicated, I appreciate that. Did I say your name correctly? Thank you. Just indicated that it's Monday. The opposition is Monday, and then the reply brief would be, 2 days hence. So the briefing is going to be done in relatively short order. The decision, that's another question.
All right. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Does it make sense for me to hear from Mr. Schillinger directly, or do you want to handle this, Mr. Brennan?
Thank you.
Good afternoon. So we do need you to say your name.
Yeah. Good morning, Your Honor. Caleb Schillinger.
All right. Mr. Schillinger, I have no idea how this works. So why don't you tell us?
Sure. So as Attorney Jackson mentioned, Your Honor, Judge Saylor issued his decision denying petition for habeas relief last Thursday. The defendant is pursuing a further appeal to the First Circuit. The parties have agreed to an expedited briefing schedule in front of the First Circuit. The defendant filed her brief earlier today in the First Circuit. The respondent's brief is due Monday, the 24th, and then the defendant's reply brief is due Wednesday, the 26th. As Attorney Jackson mentioned, parties are able to control that much in terms of coming up with an expedited briefing schedule. How long it would then take for the appeal to be decided after that is unknown, and the parties don't have the ability, obviously, to dictate that. I think more broadly, Your Honor, in terms of the arguments here, certainly if it were possible to have all of this resolved before moving forward, it would be ideal to know which charges are going to go forward and which. At the same time, the Commonwealth is obviously strongly opposed to moving the trial. And so, while perhaps unfair to Your Honor, if there is some intermediate ground or additional information that Your Honor would be able to provide, I think that that would be helpful. We could further discuss this issue and come back tomorrow. I would note the motion for a stay that they are going to file, they have indicated, or Attorney Weinberg has indicated to me through email, will be filed with Judge Saylor, not with the First Circuit. So there's no deadline that that motion be filed today, tomorrow, or even Thursday. So this is not a decision that needs to be made immediately, Your Honor.
Okay.
And frankly, the Commonwealth would benefit from additional time to be able to discuss with the victim's family members, and to the extent perhaps the court is able to indicate whether some amount of time is feasible given the jurors' schedules that are coming in, Your Honor's schedule. That would be helpful information to inform this as well.
All right. I appreciate that. So one of the things that we would discuss at a final pretrial conference is how long this case is expected to take. So I think the Commonwealth filed or filled out the pretrial conference report a few weeks ago and said 20 trial days, 40. How many trial days do you remember you said, Mr. Brennan? Or what do you think your Commonwealth's case will be?
I don't remember what I put specifically, but I think if we have full trial days,
yes,
5 days a week, I expect less than a month. I'm shooting for 3.5 weeks.
Okay. Mr. Jackson?
Your Honor,
24, I'm sorry.
Our defense obviously is somewhat dependent upon the Commonwealth's presentation, but my best estimate would probably be a week and a half, 2 weeks of full trial days for the defense, if I had to sort of throw a dart.
Okay. All right. The big question is jury impanelment. Again, I alluded to all the recent publicity that I think is going to be very problematic in getting a jury. So I'll let both sides talk. That makes sense to me. Months and months ago, we got the jury commissioner's office on this to get us the amount of jurors we need starting April 1st. That process will take additional months in order to, if we change the date. So that's very problematic. So I'll hear you all tomorrow on this then.
May we address the court at sidebar on one issue before you leave the bench?
Sure. All right, tomorrow, but Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. That'll give you time, Mr. Schillinger, to speak with maybe Mr. Weinberg or counsel.
It will. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. So see you Thursday. All right. Thank you, everybody.
All right, so the court, please.
I got it. It's too close. I don't need you, sir.
I know. I know.
That's the latest in the courtroom, and Karen Reed in the upcoming second attempt at her murder trial scheduled for April 1st. That is the latest from the courtroom today in the pretrial hearing. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are getting podcasts. You don't miss any of our breaking updates on this case and more. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
The open road feels even better with CME Federal Credit Union. CME wants to beat your current auto loan rate by 1.5% APR and give you a fresh start with no payments for 60 days. Whether it's tailgates, pumpkin patches, or road trips through Ohio's back roads, let CME help you cozy up to savings and make this season one to remember. Terms and conditions apply. Minimum floor rate of 4.99% APR. APR means annual percentage rate, federally insured by NCUA. Visit cmefcu.org for additional details.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Bills piling up. CME can help you wrap up your debt into one simple, manageable signature loan with rates starting as low as 8.75% APR. Instead of juggling stacks of statements, let CME help you unwrap peace of mind this season. Federally insured by NCUA, APR means annual percentage rate. Terms apply. Subject to membership eligibility and approval. Visit cmefcu.org for additional details.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Breaking apartment news. The champion people, you know, the people with the good apartments, bring you River Park of Dublin with this amazing deal.
No rent until 2026. Live in one of the coolest places in the city, right by Bridge Park, and you will not pay rent until next year.
I don't believe it.
I lie a lot, but not about this.
River Park of Dublin. Great location, great amenities, and now a great special. Okay, now go to livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Breaking apartment news. The Champion people, you know, the people with the good apartments, bring you River Park of Dublin with this amazing deal.
No rent until 2026. Live in one of the coolest places in the city, right by Bridge Park, and you will not pay rent until next year.
I don't believe it.
I lie a lot, but not about this.
River Park of Dublin. Great location, great amenities, and now a great special. Okay, now go to livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now. You don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire. Available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5-hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting. And terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit bhmcpagroup.com. That's bhmcpagroup.com. BHM, because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.